Today on Real Radio.
21st century Christian church is so anemic and so does not understand the nature of God that we think down deep inside that we need to either avoid certain attributes of God or apologize for them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in the second to the last chapter of this New Testament epistle, and Pastor Jack's delivering a multi-part series taken from the first 11 verses of that section, chapter 15. Now, if there's ever a passage that really kind of boils down the gospel and makes it easy to understand, well, this is it. The series is called What Will Happen to You When You Die? Obviously, it's one of the most important questions to face in any lifetime. To ignore that question, well, it's just plain foolish. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called What Will Happen to You When You Die?
So, there are some things impossible for your God. Yes, he can't sin. He's sinless. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for your salvation's sake that he's sinless? That he's perfect? Holy, pure? Isn't it interesting? The book of Habakkuk says that God is so pure that he cannot look upon evil. Isn't it interesting that from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Bible says that when Jesus was crucified for our sins, the scripture says that the sky turned dark from 12 to 3 o'clock as God heaped on Christ all of our sins as Jesus died in our place. It's amazing. The holiness of God. Exodus 3:13 says, you know the encounter, Mount Sinai, that Moses said to God after meeting with him there on the mountaintop, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Church, I want you to mark this down. Go research it later. You guys awake?
Yes.
Moses encounters God. God says to Moses, tell the people of Israel, I am has sent you to them. In your Bibles, it's capital I and then capital A-M, I am. It is Yahweh, the Lord, God. The word means he has no beginning, he has no ending, he's self-contained. He's outside of our limitations. Moses, when you talk to them, you tell them the one who is all eternal, who is all holy, who is all pure, has sent you to them. And then lo and behold, Jesus Christ comes along and seven times, there's a key to that, seven times Jesus says in the New Testament, I am. In Greek, ego eimi. Which is, so what? It's the same word from Mount Sinai. Jesus said, Moses met me at the burning bush. That's awesome. How big is your Jesus? Well, which Jesus are we talking about? The Jesus of Hinduism, Buddhism, Mormonism, Watchtower Society, Islam? None of those Jesuses. That's not my Jesus. My Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible, altogether different, altogether holy and pure, altogether eternal. The message is all about him and what he's done for us. He alone is righteous. He alone is light. He's alone our Savior. Number six, from beyond eternity, his justice is proclaimed, the justice of God. This is tough for us. I have a couple of points coming up left, but this is that we're going to struggle with, but you need to hear this through. Justice. The only thing that we hear today about justice is either how perverse our justice system is or this word social justice. And it sounds cute on the surface, but social justice is when you get down to the bottom of it, it's a very sad thing because it's godless. Let me say this. The church of Jesus Christ in the earth, starting with this one, should lead the way in justice. So we leave that up to the courts. Oh, don't do that. So what do you expect us to do? You know how you and I vote, and we always come across judges to vote for? Have you ever seen that in your ballot? You vote for them. Did you know that? Nobody knows who these people are. And so you go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I guess I'll pick mo. We don't know. We need to study who those people are more than anybody. Why? Because they make the rules forever, these people. We need to know them, find out about them. Why? Because the Bible says, and our system still works off of this, that we are to select from among ourselves people to govern over us. Did you know that? We pick our rulers. You're an American. Are you not an American? Americans pick their leaders. So what am I saying? The Christian and the church should lead the way as an example regarding justice. So what is justice? This is why I always stress you to register to vote and to vote and to get involved. What is justice? Justice is your biblical worldview in action. Don't look to the politicians to feed the homeless. We are to feed them. Amen. Don't look to the politicians to do this or to do that. You know what they should be doing? They should be taking down those big power poles, which are ugly as all sin. They should be paving our streets, making sure the lights work right, right? They should be making sure that when you flush your toilet, everything goes to where it goes, that miraculous land somewhere where all the stuff goes. That's their job, not to crawl into your life and say, this is what you believe and this is what you'll not believe. This is what you'll do with your family and not do with your family. They're supposed to help us flush our toilets, not govern over or dictate things to our kids. The justice should come from the people who know God. Why? Because God alone is the just. How can we assume for a moment that we are the justice? We are not the justice. God is the just one. We are to stand for his ways. To do otherwise is to impose our self-proclaimed justice over God's. No, it's his. Remember that. That's why God said in Genesis 1:26, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. Number 7, what will happen to you when you die? Arguments from beyond eternity. His power is known. No one can deny that God's power has not been seen in some form or another. His power is known. The non-believer knows this. Hey, while I was away, you guys had an earthquake, I heard. It's funny because last week Jacob Prash spoke, right? Do you know where he was staying when the earthquake hit? Devore. The earthquake was under his door from England. Comes to England, lands, gets in his room, and gets a good old California earthquake underneath his door. You know what happens when you can be, I saw this happen when I was working at the corporation I used to work for, Baxter Healthcare. We had an earthquake during an experiment. We're all working on something. And there was this guy, he was the project manager, and he was a profane man. Very, 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 very much of a cusser. He just cussed. And it was funny because it was against company policy. We had to sign a document saying that we would not cuss. A fiduciary agreement. All employees had to sign it back then. So they thought he was above all that. And so we're doing this work, and he's walking like some Nazi Gestapo. And he's barking out commands, and he's telling a joke. He's telling a dirty joke. And we're all working. And you guys remember the Whittier Narrows earthquake? Yeah. Boom! That thing hit. And our lab is built on rollers, so it moves because it diminishes vibration. You should have seen what happened. That lab, it's in Newport Beach, that far away from the earthquake. But when the earthquake hit, the lab started moving. And it started moving so much, it broke the water sprinklers above and all the water started coming down. You should have seen this guy. He goes from telling a dirty joke and to this. Somebody call out to God! Somebody pray! Someone pray! It was awesome! Hey man, you know what? There was this guy, and you know what? And then boom, the earthquake hit. Listen, when the earth shakes enough, non-believers become believers. Atheists become believers. someone pray in the midst of an earthquake. Really, why? His power is known in nature. His power is known in the weather. His power is known in storms. His power is known by the very creation itself. The sciences grant us access into the wonders of God. The Bible says in Philippians 3:10, I love this verse for many reasons. Very personal reasons, I might add. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Let me insert this about his power. I love that verse. Are you suffering anything? I don't care what it is. Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. Take that verse. I remember for a year I was very, very sick in 1989, very, very sick. They went through everything. Tested me for all kinds of cancers. They did all kinds of stuff. It took them forever to figure out what I had. Almost a year. It took them 10 months to figure out what I had. I lost 22 pounds, not trying. And let me tell you, that verse was my daily bread. Because I would say, Lord, if I'm going to live, then let this suffering be for power, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. So whatever's going on in your life, grab it. Grab that verse. You know what? I don't endorse tattoos, but I'm going to give you permission. Go get that tattooed on your forehead. You look in the mirror and put it backwards. So you look in the mirror, you read it right. Number 8, from beyond eternity, his grace is evident. His grace. Grace. The Bible says, the Lord is gracious. In Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious. By the way, that is Yah. Yahweh is gracious. Listen, personally, I think salvation enough is adequate evidence regarding his grace. I don't need anything more than that. God can forgive me. He can forgive anybody. Say, what are you so guilty of in your past, Pastor? You're not going to know. Because if Jesus has forgotten it, I have to struggle to keep forgetting it. I don't want to remember what I used to be. Sometimes condemnation will come into your room. I'm talking about your head. And say, hey, yeah, you think Jesus died for what you did back in 39? What does the Bible say about that? Yes. What do my emotions say about that sometimes? I don't know. I believed it until right now. Your emotions will rob you blind. But the Bible says, listen, if you ever get in a fight with Satan or one of his goobers, one of his demons, you better know the Bible. You better not quote the LA Times. In fact, you will go to hell. You'll go to hell. You will go to hell, quoting the LA Times. That's not going to help you. You have to know the Bible. The Makaira in the Greek, Paul used the word. The sword of God's word. And listen, God's gracious. That does not mean that we say, well, you know what? Hey, cool, God's gracious. Let's go sin. Hey, come on, party! My house! God is gracious. Nope. You can't think that way. Oh, I'll just do this little thing and God's grace will take care of it later. Nope, can't do that. That's not what God's grace is. The Bible tells us regarding God's grace that when we are convicted of our sins and we come and cry out to him, listen, he who is all just, who can at any moment cut us off at the knees, in repentance, how do you bring the grace of God into your life? Repenting of your sin. God, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against your holy word. And listen, here's the great news. This is the gospel. No matter what you've ever done in your life, no matter what you're doing right now, if God's convicting you and you say, man, I don't want to do this anymore, God says, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. I will forgive you of your sins. You come to me. And he'll do that. The Bible says in Luke 4:22, just jot it down, Luke 4:22. So all bore witness to Jesus and marveled at the gracious words which he proceeded out of his mouth. You want to know what God's like? Read the New Testament. The Gospels, and look at Jesus' life. Number 9, I have to hurry. From beyond eternity, his mercy endures. His mercy endures. I'm going to encourage you, all of you, this is your homework. Write it down next to this point of yours, Psalm 136. Psalm 136 has 26 verses, and in 26 verses, it says this, "For his mercy endures forever 26 times. That's I commend you by the mercies of God." Read Psalm 136. Teach it to your kids. "For his mercy endures forever. The Lord is gracious." Psalm 145, 8 through 10 says, "He's compassionate, slow to anger, great in mercy." Don't you need mercy? Yeah, you do. Mercy is this. Simply put, mercy is you are worthy to receive the punishment because of what you did. Justice says, this is what's coming to you. You deserve it. Mercy steps in and holds off justice and says, I will take the heat. I'm going to extend mercy to this person. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Can everyone say amen?
Amen.
See, Jesus said regarding this, he defined it beautifully. To the person who is forgiven much, that person loves much. That's what mercy does in your life. And you can't accept the mercy of God aright and then turn to someone and be unmerciful to them. We are to be merciful. And number 10, at the sound of the bell, from beyond eternity, his vengeance is coming. This is the one I said a moment ago you're going to have a hard time with. I need all of you to wake up now. Wake up your neighbor. And this is number 10. This is the big deal. Vengeance. From beyond eternity, his vengeance is coming. So I don't like you saying that word. That's why I'm saying it. Seriously. We are so, I'm not saying you guys, the 21st century Christian church is so anemic and so does not understand the nature of God that we think down deep inside that we need to either avoid certain attributes of God or apologize for them. One of them is his vengeance. We think in human terms that God is a little bit out of control on that one and a little bit too emotional and he's losing it. So we have to apologize for God. Because why? The Bible says he's vengeful. Oh, did you know that God cannot be God without being a God of vengeance? Just because we don't like that doesn't mean that's not true. Because he is absolutely God, he's a God who executes, I should say, vengeance. Now listen to this. Listen to what A.W. Pink says. "The wrath of God is as much a divine perfection as is his faithfulness, power, or mercy. It must be so, for there is no blemish whatever, not the slightest defect in the character of God, yet there would be if wrath were absent from him," Pink says. "The Bible says in Genesis 6, 3, my spirit will not always strive with mankind." There's going to come a day when God will exercise his vengeance, which is holy. Psalm 7, 11 in the Amplified Version says, "I am angry with the wicked every day." God doesn't compromise. And then this one, this verse, I've known this verse for as long as I've been a Christian. Deuteronomy 32, 35, "Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. The things to come hasten upon them." The New Living Translation says of that verse, "I will take revenge, I will pay them back," says God. "In due time, their foot will slip. Their day of disaster is arriving. Their destiny will overtake them." God is holy and vengeance is coming to an unbelieving world. Did you know that? Are you not a Christian today? Did you know that vengeance is coming? It's en route. Did you know, it is more real than someone having mailed you a letter and you're waiting to receive it. It's more real than that. God's vengeance is coming because he's God. Where will you be when you die? Where will you go? He says, "I'm angry with the wicked every day." I thought God loved everybody. God loves, but don't confuse God's love with cutting you some slack. God loves, and so he sent his son so that his love can exercise righteousness and judgment, which was laid upon his son. And God is holy, But you and I receive the benefits because of God's justice. Christ bore our place at the cross in our suffering. Jesus there was dead on the cross, laid in the tomb. And God is declared righteous and just. But because of the resurrection of Christ, God is declared merciful. I'm out of time. I'll simply give you this and then you can look it up later. Make sure you read in detail Romans chapter 1 today, verses 18 to 19. And Luke chapter 4, and I'll just summarize it this way. Romans chapter 1 says that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness among those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For that which would be known by them, they did not receive. They didn't want, they said, no, listen to this. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to know God. They hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Jesus is about to begin his earthly ministry, and in Luke chapter 4, remember, he shows up to the synagogue, and the attendant hands him the scroll because it was his day to read the scripture. They hand him the scroll of Isaiah to the daily reading. Don't tell me God didn't have a plan. Jesus opens it up, and it's the daily reading of that Saturday for scripture, and guess what it is? It's Isaiah 61. Amen. And Jesus says, he begins to speak, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has called me to preach liberty to the captives, to set those that are in prison loose, to open the eyes of the blind. Jesus, and then it says, and to declare to you, Isaiah 61, he's reading, the acceptable year of the Lord. And it says, and at that, he stopped and rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant. And Jesus says, today is the scripture fulfilled in your hearing. And let me tell you why that's important. Jesus stopped at a comma in Isaiah 61. Who stops at a comma? The next word is, he preached to preach unto you the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, and the day of his vengeance. For 2,000 years. God's gracious hand has been waiting and staying off the vengeance of his righteousness. And the day is coming when his hand will be released and his wrath will come to this earth and in judgment. Do you know Jesus Christ who will spare you from all that? The wrath of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a passage that really does boil down the gospel and makes it very easy to understand. What will happen to you when you die? That's the all-important question that serves as the title of this series within a series, which is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse study through 1 Corinthians. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series called What Will Happen to You When You Die is available in a 4-CD set if you'd like to get it. Maybe you've been challenged to explain the gospel in some real simple terms to someone, but you didn't know where to begin. Well, you can begin by reading 1 Corinthians 15, then you can listen to this 4-part series, What Will Happen to You When You Die, by Pastor Jack Hibbs. It'll also give you a greater appreciation for all that God the Son did and went through to save you. Now here's the offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series called What Will Happen to You When You Die in a 4-CD set for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. I'll say that again. For your contribution of any amount, all of which is tax-deductible, to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 4-CD series What Will Happen to You When You Die. Call, click, or write as soon as you can. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. I strongly suggest you get this 4-CD series. I think you're going to like it. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, you could write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.